we all need to hear the voice of hope over our lives. When I was 23 years old, I had my hair permed. Now, what are you laughing for? In those days, the glorious 80s, it looked really good on Kevin Keegan. So I thought it'd look really good on me. Now, my hair has always been very much the same. Told you that before, that I was the kid, my name was the kid with the white hair. And I always had quite short hair. Now, for those of you who are used to getting your hair permed, perming short hair is not a brilliant idea. Especially the next morning when you get up and wash it and just let it dry by itself. Now, you can imagine the response. In those days, I worked for an insurance company in central Birmingham. And I woke up and I looked in the mirror and I thought, oh my life, what on earth have I done? So did my wife at that time. She was in hysterics. And as the lift doors opened and I walked out, so was everybody else in the office. But sometimes you can look back and you can think, man, I had it. I had got it. And then you realize as the years go by, you never had it. You never had it. Even when you thought those were the best days ever, you thought, no, I haven't got it. I haven't got it. We can look often into the past and we can say those were the good old days. Those were the days when everything was right. This year, one of the key verses that we've got for the church is the verse from Jeremiah. And it's a verse that speaks hope over the centuries. It hasn't only spoken hope to all those who have gone before us. It will speak hope into our lives, and it will speak hope for generations to come. If you want to flick it over to that next slide for us. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to rob your future of hope. It doesn't say that, does it? It doesn't say that. It says, I have plans, and these plans are going to give you a hope and a future. What about you? Can you look back in your life to a point where you said, that's the past, and actually those were the best days? And when Scripture says to you, actually no, the future, the best is yet to come, and you say, you've got to be kidding. Those were the good days. I don't believe that the future is anywhere going to be as good as the past. But sometimes when you're standing here today and you can look at how things were in the past, you see things completely different. Maybe that redundancy payment that you got, which allowed you to open your business, was the best thing that ever happened in your life. But the day that they told you you were going to leave work, it was like the end of the world. Maybe that day after you'd snogged Dorothy Parker behind the bike sheds and she dropped you for the football captain, it broke your heart. But then some years later you met her at the high school reunion and you said, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Our memories can play tricks on us. And sometimes when we're in a difficult time, when we're in a time of challenge, when we're in a time when just it thinks that there's nothing that we can do, we feel as if our world's ending. And Scripture would speak to us over the centuries and it would say, the best is yet to come. regardless of your circumstances, regardless of how good your circumstances are right now, Scripture would say this to you this morning, the best is yet to come. We all need to hear the voice of hope over our lives. We all, every one of us, needs to hear the voice of hope in our lives. Because there were times they were tragedies and they pained us and things really hurt. But from the perspective of today, when we look at those things, we see it completely different. But there are other events. There are other events that actually don't make sense in our life. And you may be at the moment in the middle of the most difficult time in your life. And you might say, I don't know if I'm going to make it this time. The future is better. You've got to be kidding. You've got to be kidding me. The best is yet to come. Don't be so crazy. If you only knew what my life was going through now, you would never say that. Maybe you poured your life into a relationship and somebody took that trust and abused it. And now you're sitting here today and you're thinking, oh, the best is yet to come. My life is in a crisis. Talk about hope. I don't even think I'm going to make it to the end of next week. The past, they were the good days. Those were the days. If we could only go back to those days again. Maybe for you, you've lost someone. Maybe you lost someone that you really loved. And all that you would want with inside you is to be able to turn back the clock and say, let me go back to those days. And this is where it's very difficult when you're in the midst of a crisis and you can only see the world from today, that when Scripture says to us God has plans for us, He has plans that are going to bring us a future, and He has plans for us that are going to bring hope, it's difficult to hear those words from the perspective of today. But we all need to hear the voice of hope in our life. No matter what your circumstances are, Scripture for centuries has been, between the lines of each verse, has been saying this one thing. There is hope. There is hope. The best is yet to come. Now you may have questions about your life. You may have questions about the circumstances of your life. And we're not the first people through history to have had those kinds of questions. When we're in the middle of a difficult circumstance and we're saying, God, why is this happening? Throughout the centuries, God's people have faced different times of challenges. And over the next few weeks, we're going to start looking at the book of Jeremiah. And we're going to look at this prophet. And we're going to see through every verse, every chapter of that book, if there is one single word that you could use to sum up the whole of that book, it would be this. It is hope. It is hope. Now, Jeremiah came into the story of the children of Israel at a very difficult time. People think he was about 17 years old when God called him in one of the most difficult periods of the history of the nation of Israel. And people have said that when Jeremiah started his ministry, it was bad, and it went downhill from that point onwards. It just got worse. God called him to live a certain kind of life, which ended up in him being on his own. And yet he still had to communicate a message of hope in a difficult circumstance. If anything over these weeks to come that you can remember about Jeremiah and what this book is about, it's about what? Oh, come on, you can do better than that. I know it's a Sunday morning and it's a bit like, you know, you haven't had enough coffee or whatever, but you don't sound very enthusiastic about hope. It's all about what?
thank you. It's about hope. But what is hope? Well, that's what we're going to look at a little bit today. Now, in the history of the children of Israel, we had this nation. And God's plan was that he would be their king. You remember, he said, you'll have no other gods before me. But he also said, you're going to have no other kings. I'm the king. But the nation, the people, didn't want to do that. They started looking around at all the other nations around them and thinking, you know, actually, we'd like a king. We want a king. And that's what they started to do. And kings came into power, and the end result of that process was the nation of Israel ends up splitting into two, to the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And God sends this young guy into the southern kingdom and calls him with a message that he has to give to these people when things are in the most difficult place ever. And he has to speak this message. And this message is a bit like a sat nav that you have in your car. Turn around at your earliest opportunity. Turn around and go the other way. And God wanted to communicate this message, and he's saying, if you don't listen to this message, then problems are going to happen. And we know from history and we know from scripture that in a very short period of years, when you think of the whole history of the nation of Israel, both the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom were overrun by enemies. And the people were carted off to different kingdoms. They never listened to what God was trying to say to them. If you've got your Bibles with you this morning and you want to just have a look at a couple of verses as we look at it in the first chapter of Jeremiah, and we see how God calls this man. Chapter 1 and just verse 4. And this is Jeremiah saying, he's saying, the word of the Lord came to me and he said this, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Now, isn't that the most amazing thing? Doesn't that actually capture the fact that the future is better? Because God has had our lives planned out even before we were born. He knew before the world began that you would be here today listening to a man with an ex-perm. He knew that that was going to happen. But he also knows the other things. He knows the circumstances that you're in now. He knows what the future is, and that we all need to hear the voice of hope, and the voice of hope is this. The best is yet to come. He says this, before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you as a prophet. In other words, I've got a particular job for you to do. And God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't treat anybody different than you. And if he had a job for Jeremiah, guess what? He's got a job for you. And don't kid yourself about that. You might think, oh, those are these people, that's other people. No. Before the world began, he knew you and he had a job for you to do. But he says, our sovereign Lord, I don't know how to speak. I'm only a child. In other words, he's only young. He's just trying to come up with some kind of excuse. Now, we never do that, do we? We never come up with any excuses why we can't do what God tells us to do. Obviously, he's the only person that's ever done that. I can't do it, God. I'm too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. And this is an important thing. Whenever God gives us a job and he tells us to do, he always gives us a promise that he's going to do it with us. He doesn't say, here you go, into the lion's den on your own. Hopefully I'll see you a bit later on. He says, here's a job for you to do. And whatever I command you to do, don't be afraid, for I am with you and I will rescue you. Then the Lord reached out his hand and he touched my mouth and he said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy, to overthrow. And then importantly at the end of that verse, to build and to plant. There's a future.
It's not only about the calamity, it's about what's coming in the future. We all need to hear the voice of hope in our life. Now, you know, we can live for a few days without food. We can even live a couple of days without water. We can even live a few minutes without air. But you know, I don't think we can live one moment without hope. We can't live one moment without hope. Our bodies can take an enormous amount of pressure. We can be in the most difficult of circumstances. But if we feel that there is hope, we can somehow battle through those circumstances. When all hope is gone, it's difficult to face life. We can go through seasons of illness. We can go through financial meltdowns. We can go through domestic disturbances. We can even go through the death of someone we love if we have hope that tomorrow is better, that the best is yet to come. But what causes us to lose hope? Because the opposite of hope is despair. What causes us to have despair? Well, most times it comes when we experience loss. When something that we thought was certain becomes uncertain. And we face despair. And we may go through life saying, I hope that tomorrow is better. I hope that my life is going to change. I hope that things are going to improve. But that's not the kind of hope that Scripture teaches us what hope is about. I hope that England might one day win on penalties against Germany. That's not the kind of hope that they're talking about. Am I back in the signal? Sort of. When God talks about hope, He's talking about the fact that there is certainty. It's not I wish. I don't think I've got any volume here, have I? Have I disappeared? Can we have a switch? One mic. Oh yeah, that's much better. Oh, you can hear me now. Let's go back to where we were. So we all need to hear the voice of hope drawing us. And not a hope that says maybe, or I wish, or perhaps. We need to know that when we are at the end of our rope, that there's somebody else who's holding the other end. And that's what the book of Jeremiah is all about. It's about saying there is a future. It's about tomorrow, and the best is yet to come. Those were the words that Jeremiah was commanded to speak to the children of Israel when they were in one of the most difficult periods of their lives. When they had been overtaken by everything that could have been possibly bad in their life and carted away to another country and living as slaves, they needed to hear a voice of hope. And even though they didn't turn back when they had the chance, it didn't stop the voice of hope speaking into their life. So, God's future plan for us is not dictated by our age. Thank you. You see, we might say, a bit like Jeremiah, I'm too young. Or actually, you might say the other thing, I'm too old. That's not the case. I found this, which I thought was really interesting, about success at different stages of your life. They say you're too old when you can't get off, you can't get your rocking chair started, you need your false teeth and your hearing aid to ask where you left your glasses. But they said this, at 4, success is not needing nappies. At 12, success is having friends. At 17, success is having a driving license. At 20, success is making love. At 35, success is having money. At 55, success is having enough money to retire. At 65, success is making love. At 70, success is having a driving license. At 75, success is having friends. And at 80, success is not needing nappies. We can be, you ought to probably flick that over really. We can be at any stage of our life and we can say, oh, it's my age, I can't do anything about this. But God's no respecter of age. If you look in scripture, some of the people who made the biggest difference in the nation of Israel didn't start until they were in their 80s. So the best is yet to come. You cannot say, however old you are, that God can't use me and that there is nothing I can do for him, because the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. The next thing is God's future plan is not dictated by our weaknesses and any mistakes that we've made. You might say, there's no way that God has got a future for me because I made the biggest mistake ever. Listen to this list. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was extremely old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was very ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was a coward. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. David had an affair and he was a murderer. John the Baptist ate bugs. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while they were praying. Martha worried just about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. And Lazarus was dead. Now, somewhere in there you might say, actually, I could fit in that. But it didn't make any difference. God used them. So don't think there is anything that you have ever done in your past that would preclude you from being used tremendously by God. Don't say it's anything to do with your age. Don't say it's anything to do with the mistakes you've done, because the best is yet to come. God is not going to be dictated by our weaknesses. And even though you may be in the middle of a difficult circumstance, you could have caused yourself, because of actions you took, exactly like the children of Israel. It didn't stop them hearing the voice of hope in their lives, and it shouldn't stop you either. God would say to you this morning that the best is yet to come. So what does it depend on? It depends on this. God's future plan is dictated by our obedience and trust. Oh, and that's so easy to say, but it's so difficult to live. When you're in the midst of a difficult circumstance. Man, words can roll off somebody else's tongue just like treacle off a sponge pudding. So easy. And yet when you're the one that's in the middle of the difficult circumstances, having something to hold on to trust, is a difficult place to be.
But you may need to hear the voice of hope this morning. And that voice of hope says to you, like it has said to thousands of others before over the centuries, despite their age, despite their circumstances, despite the mistakes they've made, that the best is yet to come. God has a plan for your life. He has a plan, which is a great plan. If you want to put the last one up for me. He has a plan to prosper you. And that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to make you rich, but he wants your life to flourish. He knew you before the world began. He knows exactly what you can do, the message that only you can bring. And this morning he would say, trust me, that even though you might be in the most difficult of circumstances today, the best is yet to come. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the history through scripture that teaches us time and time again, you send people into the lives of the children of Israel to tell them that you love them. Yeah, we called them prophets and preachers and all sorts of things like that, but ultimately it was a message of hope that you wanted to deliver to your people. That even though you've turned your back on me, even though you've gone against what I wanted to do, here is a young man I'm sending to you with a very important message. And that very important message is filled with hope. I have plans for you. I haven't finished with you yet. Don't come and tell me about your age, because I'm not prepared to listen to that. Don't come and tell me about the things that you can't do. I'm not prepared to listen to that. Don't come and tell me about the things that you have done, because I'm not prepared to listen to that, because I have plans for you. I have plans to prosper you. I have plans for a future, and I have plans which are filled with hope. Trust me. God, sometimes it's so difficult to do that. When everything around us seems to be falling apart and we just can't seem to make sense of our life and we look back and we think, if only I could go backwards. And yet you say, no, come forwards. Come forwards. Come into this life that I'm calling you to. I pray, Father, that you would help each of us in the circumstances of our lives this day. Trust you. In the next 7 days as we go through, look for the hope that you have given into our lives. May we be people, Father, that even years from now, we will look back and we will say, we heard the voice of hope in our lives, and it is true, the best was yet to come. May you go into the world this week full of hope, based on trusting God. May you this week find, as you, in your everyday life, at work, at school, at home, with those that you love, feel the sense of the Spirit pulling you to a future of hope. And may God fill you with His Spirit as He confirms the plans He still has for you. In Jesus' name. Amen.